A collection of four novellas by British writer Jane Stevenson called Several Deceptions was published in England last year to ecstatic reviews. Now the book is out in paperback here, and book critic Maureen Corrigan has lapped it up.
Several Deceptions is the kind of book I'm always wishing were waiting for me on the table beside my lazy boy at home. It's my platonic ideal of a delicious reading experience realized in paperback form. Witty, witchy, intellectually adroit, and of course British, these novellas are almost architectural in their elegant design. Each one ends in an O. Henry-ish surprise, a cleverly unforeseen narrative pop that leaves the reader, or at least this reader, feeling simultaneously giddy and doltish. Aside from their structural similarities, all four novellas also toy with the theme of deceit, sometimes self-inflicted. They're all set in atmospheric locales, cloistered university towns in Italy and the Netherlands, an Indian city at the foothills of the Himalayas, a rickety English country house. And all of the stories are told by smooth-talking, first-person narrators who suffer from varying degrees of unreliability. In fact, the only dull, uninventive aspect of Several Deceptions is its title. But don't be deceived by it. The first novella, The Island of the Day Before Yesterday, takes its title from a book by Umberto Eco, and appropriately enough, it's a pin-pricking romp through the puff-chest world of academia and literary journalism. The narrator is a Professor Strachey, an Englishman in luxurious exile in Italy, where he teaches semiotics and publishes books on topics like the social significance of the spaghetti western. Strachey is married to an Italian noblewoman, and he's the son of a semi-famous couple who drank their way for decades through London literary circles. After his father dies, Strachey flies back to London to sort through his father's voluminous library of letters and diaries, with an eye towards selling the stuff to some rich American research library. He hires a plain Jane secretary to help him, a woman named Dora, who, he recalls to us, chewed her way through Daddy's library evening by evening with the industry of a locust. When an English journalist rings up Strachey for an interview about his father and his own minor career as a swinging 60s gadfly, Strachey arrogantly decides, in his semiotic way, that since all reminiscences are just collections of signs and there's no such thing as the truth, he'll monkey around with history. To give dumpy Dora a thrill, or so he thinks, Strachey pretends to the journalist that Dora was his first wife, now turned into a Marianne Faithful-type wreck of her former 1960s self. Imagine Strachey's horror, then, when a year later, safely back in Italy, he picks up the London Review of Books and finds a review of a memoir about the 1960s entitled Look Back in Anguish, by the very same Dora, now fully settled into the persona of Strachey's embittered ex-wife. Here, to give you an idea of Stevenson's exuberant ingenuity, is a snippet of the review Strachey reads. Dora Strachey's book is a cup of cold poison. It makes something of a virtue of being unauthorized, but Ms. Strachey makes the perfectly valid point that women's recollections are subject to all kinds of censorship from within and without. Her authentication is her own memory, her own perceptions. Dora ascends to a career as a feminist icon. Professor Strachey's marriage and reputation crumble apart faster than you can say Carnaby Street, all because of a simple, lighthearted act of deceit. The third novella here, The Colonel and Judy O'Grady, is also a romp. This is the story set in India, and it features an Irish-born Buddhist nun and a decaying community of British expatriates. Anyone who knows their Kipling might just be able to guess from the title what the twist in the ending will be here. But Stevenson's two other novellas are much darker in tone. They're Patricia Highsmith-type entertainments involving sexually ambiguous narrators, long-distance murder, a diabolical academic, art fraud, and perilously high living. I wish I had but world enough in time to read vast chunks of these stories out loud to you so you could savor their smart, droll voices. But maybe the best thing I can tell you about Several Deceptions is that even though the four novellas' plots culminate in shockers, their literary value isn't exhausted once you've read their endings. Like a good British mystery by, say, P.D. James or Ruth Rendell, these novellas are so rich in atmosphere, so acrobatic in their use of language, their endings are only the last things you'll savor about them, over and over again.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Several Deceptions, a collection of four novellas by Jane Stevenson.